Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Welcome to Conspiracy Beer Me. I'm Justin Scranton.
I'm Shane Smith.
And this is the podcast where comedians talk about crazy, weird, wild stuff. Today, we're talking about cooking up some student loan debt.
Oh, hell yeah. That's great.
Yeah, this is current. This is a very current. It's in the news. We're excited to be talking about it. We will, of course, be coming up very shortly at the Mind Under Matter Festival here in Raleigh, North Carolina. If you're in the area, want to come hear a live podcast, I might be doing some stand-up.
Yeah, a lot of great stand-ups. I think there's a lot more people doing stand-up than what's currently on the bill. So that's
exciting. That's true. I'm not on the bill.
You're not on the bill. He said he had a spot for me. I'll see if I do stand-up. I think Mello will be there for stand-up. I think Mello's going to be our guest, which is great. So
yeah, you guys love when we have Mello, of course, on the pod. So it'll be a lot of fun. You can come for the day. You can come for the weekend. Thank you always to our patrons. We really, really appreciate you supporting us and also those listening. And I'm excited for this topic today and great to have on the pod with us a New York City comic who just came back to Raleigh, North Carolina, where he grew up. Please welcome Ryan Brown.
Hello, everybody.
Hello.
Welcome.
Oh, wrong button. Here, this one. There we go. I'll give you a beer crack. We started early and we usually crack them, but...
Yeah. Well, I cracked mine before we even started.
It was a day. My kids are all back in school, which is seems like it'd be a good thing. Yeah. It's a lot. It's a lot of school supply shopping. I've been real busy.
Yeah. I thought about you on the way here. I normally don't think about you, Justin, but today I did.
Thanks.
I was full of anxiety because I think as you get older, like there's always someone in your life that's like either you know is getting older and you have to deal with that, or there's always something. Right. And I was like, I don't know how Justin fucking has kids. I would lose my mind. I would be on so many drugs all the time. I can't fathom.
That's the secret.
Yeah, exactly. I'm on a lot of drugs.
That helps.
Yeah, it's just stressful because everybody's getting home a different way. We got a kid driving to school, and Monday morning, first day of school, 6:40 in the morning, knock on the door in the morning, and we're like,
yeah, that's weird.
And my 16-year-old looks out the peephole and he's like, I don't know. And I'm like, can I help you? And it was our neighbor who's got a sophomore in high school who was having a meltdown, and they were like, we have to go to work. And we're just doing tough love, but can your son drive her to school? They're good friends. Wow. So we were just like.
But you didn't recognize your neighbor?
Well, she's African-American. The porch light wasn't on it. It's 6:40 in the morning. And it's like, I know that's probably a racist joke in there somewhere, but
I was disoriented.
Like, I think it's accurate. I think it's,
very dark skin. Let me just make sure I'm covering my base. She's really great friends. Her older son and my son he graduated. We're good. Good friends, but
lighting can be tough. Yeah. Film crews have to shoot different scenes
with
white people.
We have a dark alcove.
And you're looking through a peephole. It's all warped and whatever.
I'm sorry. It was
wide angle.
Do they have things,
very wide angle?
Do they have? I'm gonna get a mask that's a opposite wide angle mask, so I look normal in peepholes.
Oh, that's a good idea, man.
That's the legit way to do it, right?
Look like you're inside. Candyman.
That sounds like something you get for like three easy payments of 1999.
Yeah, exactly. As seen on
the
podcast.
On the back of a comic book. The coolest shit on the back of comic books. You got a floating car.
Yeah. Oh, you remember that
X-ray
back at Popular Science? They would teach you how to make a hovercraft out of a vacuum cleaner.
I think I made one of those in
school. Did you? Lucky, I wanted one.
Man, that'll win the science fair.
No.
The thing about a hovercraft, your dream hovercraft as a kid does not require a vacuum to be attached to it at all times.
No,
it's not plugged in. You got to be able to hover beyond the leash.
Yeah, you're hovering within a very tight radius. It's not nearly as exciting. You know, it's not exactly Marty McFly style hovering.
I never thought, but extension cords have got to be on the decline, right?
I don't know. I mean, they might.
Back in the day, man, you had like every house had about 400 yards of extension cords in it because you just didn't, like, you know what I mean? Like, I think my house has sockets everywhere, but back in the day, there were like four sockets per house.
Mm-hmm.
You were running extension cords into the attic, out a window, real down. Safe. Like,
there's no like they haven't made that wireless yet though. So I mean, there's more sockets I think in the newer homes.
Yeah.
But a lot of stuff is wireless though, right?
But it still has to plug into something.
Right.
That's like what's battery, bullshit about it.
Oh, okay. I feel like my like motion lights are all wireless, but they're battery operated.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You got to get one in your porch.
Oh, that's good. Now we have a porch neighbors. Light, but it's not motion. I don't know. Well,
anyway, we're already off the rails.
That's how this goes. Well, like Ryan, you were in New York City for a long time.
Yeah.
But you started doing comedy in Raleigh where you grew up. You're back now, and we are very excited to have you.
I'm excited to be back.
You it's got student great. Loan debt?
I did. I actually Biden? Don't anymore.
Biden helped you out?
I didn't. I paid it off. The old fashioned way.
The old Republican way.
Exactly. Yeah. I worked hard.
Yeah.
And got some
pissed?
Money from my grandfather.
That
helped tremendously. But I'm not going to mention that part. I'm self-made, baby.
Yeah, that's right.
You never do hear any Republicans or people say that, do they? Like, I paid mine off with the help of my very wealthy family.
Yeah. I think you asked if I was pissed about like the,
were you pissed
the forgiveness
at all?
Here?
Yeah.
No, not really. Like, because it's like, okay, all these people are, you know, catching a break, I guess, if you want to look at it that way. But it's no different than somebody who took out loans and has a wealthy family member to pay off all of it.
Right.
Or just had wealthy enough family they didn't have to take out loans in the first place.
Right.
You know,
right.
There's a bunch of people who have it better and worse than me for reasons that are not in any of our control. Right.
Absolutely.
And I just look at it as more of that.
Yeah, that's how I've – yeah, I was just like, yeah, whatever.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, it doesn't get under my skin.
No.
Like yeah.
That. Right. I haven't seen anybody like out celebrating like if you won $10,000 in the lottery, like you might see somebody out like, well, why is that guy buying shots? He's like, he won 10 grand today in the lottery.
Yeah.
But everybody's just like, no, I just don't owe as much next month.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
I have less payments.
Didn't they cap it too, though, in terms of interest as well?
There's a bunch of stipulations, which we actually will talk today a little bit about. As we cook up some student debt. Mm. And speaking of cooking, I want to play a clip.
Okay.
And see if either of you remember this late night TV commercial as well as I do.
Okay.
So play the clip, Shane. Let's see.
Take charge of your future and get a degree from the Cordon Bleu College of Culinary Arts.
Le Cordon Bleu combines a modern education with classic technique to help you prepare for a successful career in the culinary industry.
It's smart, practical, and exciting.
So take charge and pick up the phone now. Call now for a free brochure. Operators are standing by. Call 888-262-7777. That's 888-262-7777.
And they are not a sponsor, unfortunately.
They're not. But do you remember those?
I've never seen this in my life.
Oh, really?
No. Wow.
I think I have a new career path.
Hell yeah. Me. It's exciting.
Exciting. It's practical, right?
Mm-hmm. It's named after – why would you name your business after a food?
That was what struck me as well.
That's where you're wrong. Okay. Le Cordon Bleu is a famous French experience for food. Like, I don't know what it literally means, but it is a very famous culinary school. And when you think of chicken cordon bleu, that comes from Le Cordon Bleu.
We're the dumb Americans.
Yeah, we are. Yeah, so you're saying pigs in the blanket can be traced back to lay pigs in the blanket?
Lay pigs, lay swine. it's a very famous French school, but I think the dish, chicken cordon bleu, epitomizes to me what I think of with French cuisine because it sounds very chicken cordon bleu is a piece of chicken wrapped in cheese, mm-hmm. battered and deep fried. Like I don't think French food is Southern food. It is it is fried cheese with lots of cream, and it's the best food, but it's also like just
so bad for you.
It's so bad for you. That's why it's good.
Yeah, it's all cheese.
Yeah.
And it's like better PR than the Southern food has.
Right.
Somehow it became the peak, the pinnacle of culinary excellence.
Right. I mean, I think French fries are the epitome of French food in some ways.
Really?
Like just take a potato and just dump it in grease and people will
eat it. It's fair food. It's French fair.
Le fair.
Le fair.
Call them frites and everybody thinks they're special.
Exactly.
Well, what happened with Le Cordon Bleu in that commercial and how that came about was that it's actually, we're not really talking about this. It's actually kind of a cool story where like Le Cordon Bleu, the culinary school, very, very famous. And then they're part of what makes one family extremely wealthy. One of their sons got like kind of like inherited the Cordon Bleu company.
Okay.
And he was like trying to prove himself. So he was like, I'm going to make this, you know, really, really wealthy. I'm going to make my name on this. So what he did was he licensed the name Le Cordon Bleu to culinary institutes all around the country.
Smart.
Right?
Franchise.
So he was like, we've built this reputation of Le Cordon Bleu as the creme de la creme.
Now let's water it down.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Creme de la creme just means the cream of the cream.
Yeah, which again,
right. Again, French food is just really, really Southern.
Yeah.
What's it need? More butter. More the butter of the butter.
That's right. The butter's butter.
So they start licensing Le Cordon Bleu to American culinary schools all over the country. That one, the commercial here was for the Atlanta, Cordon Bleu Atlanta, but they had one, Le Cordon Bleu San Francisco, which prior was the California Culinary Institute or Academy or something. And they just kind of stamped them with Le Cordon Bleu. And now they're these famous French schools that teach the French way of cooking.
And they still exist.
No.
Oh.
Because of what you're about to hear.
Oh, hell yeah.
Okay. Right. Okay.
But they were good schools. Like they weren't.
No.
Okay. I mean, they weren't good like Trump University. They were good schools.
Right. So they started this blitz of advertising these schools to recruit people. Now, why, you ask? Well, because if you remember, this is going on in like the mid 2000s. 2000 up until about 2010-11, and like that was like the age where a lot of celebrity chefs sort of came back in vogue, right?
Oh yeah, like so Bobby Flay,
yeah. So there was Emeril Lagasse.
Oh, yeah.
Remember like that was like the peak. Bam, yeah. And Anthony Bourdain. That's when Gordon Ramsay first started like coming on the scene. Like celebrity chefs, all of a sudden, and this actually is true of all industries. Mm-hmm. Oftentimes, television drives interest in a particular industry. So for example, I don't know if you guys watched The Bear, the new
it's
great,
so good.
I 100% think it will cause another resurgence in like gritty cooking shows, people will start wanting to work in kitchens.
Yeah,
because they. Even though that's a kind of a gritty show, they will people will see it as like this is kind of cool.
Yeah, they romanticize it.
They
right?
romanticize it, and that's what they do. Every time there's a successful law firm show, like The Practice or something, law school applications spike. Whenever there's a successful cop show, police academy.
It's like She-Hulk. There's going to be more lawyer superheroes.
A lot of big women. A lot of 7-foot women, bodybuilders.
Yeah, getting jobs.
Trying lawyers. To be lawyers.
Yeah. Just painting themselves
huge
green.
Huge spike.
Yeah.
So they were capitalizing on this new craze for people who were like, I love to cook. And that's what the ads were. So they started recruiting students. And the selling point, as you can imagine, was they would recruit people, like take charge of your future, right? Do you want a career or do you want a job? And it was like, we can guarantee you income. Right?
This sounds a lot like ITT Tech.
That's exactly what I was just thinking of, yeah.
Very similar to ITT Tech. And what we're about to talk about, there's a parallel story that just is the same thing. Like, there were similar commercials with like game, like, do you like video games?
Oh, yeah, I remember that those? One, yes.
Like, it was like game design. They were doing the same. These were all late night advertised professional trade schools.
Okay. Do you like video games and paying your rent?
Do you want to move out of your parents' basement? Yeah, they were recruiting for all sorts of things, late night TV, which those are my favorite commercials, with the exception of like the commercials they show at like 11 in the morning.
Oh, yeah.
Like, do you know, like during the weekdays?
Yeah.
Like on network television, it's like, are you in pain? Like, can you not get out of bed? It's clearly marketed towards people that watch like Judge Judy.
Yeah.
It's all like, did you take this drug? Do you want to sign up this class action? It's the late night shows are all like, what's going wrong with your life? Like, do you want a better job?
Yeah.
This was how they recruited people.
Okay.
So you heard the commercial, like you call and you get a free brochure. Next day, someone calls you. Hey, Shane, saw you called about this free brochure. Let's talk about changing your life.
Oh, yeah, please.
And you were bombarded by high pressure salesmen. Mm. One group said that it was like buying a used car, like constantly hounded on the phone by these people that wanted to get you into culinary school. And they said,
and it's under the guise of self-help, which is even worse, because with a car salesman, you're at least like, do I need this car? But this is like, I could change my life.
Right. That's right.
They prey on you.
And there's just some of the things they said. They said, Le Cordon Bleu, we have, and this is a quote, an extensive networks of contacts and close relationships with prestigious restaurants and other food service employers, where our graduates can easily obtain employment in one or more of positions for which we promise to train you.
Oh.
So like that. Like, we have extensive contacts. We have an excellent reputation. We have extremely high rates of job placements in the restaurant industry. So they,
and
so in your head, you're like, well, okay, but like, well, how much does it cost? Well, to get a chef's degree, $48,000.
Holy shit.
Ooh. That's just the degree. That's not living expenses or anything. That's just like
tuition.
Tuition. $48,000.
That's crazy.
$28,000 for baking and pastry. And then they had a $38,000 management program.
Oh my God.
Some people did all three. Right?
It's $100,000.
And so they're like, I can't, how do I afford that? They're like, no problem. You qualify for student loans, grants, Pell Grants, and these federally backed student loans. And we can set you up and you won't pay anything until you're getting a really nice, high paying job.
Okay, I'm in.
You're in, right?
Yeah, even though I know this is a scam, I'm in.
You're ready to go. Of course you're in, right?
Yeah. Well, and I'm reasonable, so I'll just do the pastry chef
option for
$28,000.
Okay, that's good. You just know you have to get up a lot earlier to be a pastry chef. That's why I wouldn't do that.
That seems like a really dumb, like nobody's like nobody wants to be the bitch in the, you know what I mean? Where it's like, you can pay $48,000 and you can be a boss. Or you can pay $20,000 less and you can be the boss's bitch.
I like that he said that he would be that bitch.
Oh, I like it.
I like the, I think being the bitch is a nice value.
Yeah, it is a value for sure.
Well, and I watched The Bear and the pastry chef. He seems like he kind of has his own little thing going on. He's chilling. Everything else is on fire.
Yeah.
And, you're right.
So I think that might have swayed me a little bit.
I think pastry chefs, outside of an environment like this, I think they are really cool.
Yeah, I like a pastry chef.
Like I'll be honest, I can cook. I can cook well. What I mean by that is like you could spread out a series of ingredients in front of me, and I could make something that is delicious out of it.
Nice.
Without no recipe, I can cook something. I can't bake worth
baking's hard.
It's not intuitive like that.
No, my daughter's so good at it.
Science.
This is a conspiracy podcast. There's not a lot of science we talk about.
Yeah. We will admit baking is not magic. That's
true. It's not. Yeah.
Mm. Unless you're at elevation.
Oh yeah.
Then it's magic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know how. I mean, like, do you ever read the back of
a cake
where it's like, right, do this,
right, unless you're in the mountains.
Yep.
then it needs 5 hours at 100 degrees. Yeah. You're like, what?
I'm OCD, so it's
dragon's
like,
egg.
I look up my elevation on Google just so I know exactly what the ratio needs to be. And it's like, you just done it for 30 minutes.
That reminds me, a couple years ago, I drove with a friend January, February to Boone, North Carolina. Those of you listening that don't know, Boone is our mountains, and it's the place where we have our most ski resorts, and we were going to ski for a couple days, and it was snowing as we were approaching pretty badly, and our friends where we were staying called, and they were like, hey, you're gonna pass by a convenience store, like once you pass that, like, it's gonna get steep and windy, so get whatever you want. So we go in, we got some more beer, snacks. I bought a bag of Lay's sour cream and onion potato chips. And the bag looked like a balloon ready to pop.
I mean,
oh, right.
Just like no, like just any squeeze would have blown it right. wide open. I'm like, hey, what's up with that? And this fucking guy was like, yeah, man, we're at elevation. And I'm like, that's definitely not why yeah. this bad. Yeah. I'm like, we're at 3,000 feet elevation.
Yeah, that's not serious elevation. No, we're not,
yeah, when you told me that initially, I was like, the mountains aren't that high.
I was like, no way. He's like, no, man, we're at elevation. Because the air pressure in there is different than out here. And I'm like, that's definitely not yeah. what's going on.
Like, it would have to be relative to where, I guess, the bag was sealed. Like, were they packing yeah, it right. in, like, Louisiana or something? Yeah, like, right. Like, yeah, somewhere, yeah. like, yeah, beneath under the ocean. Sea level.
Yeah. yeah. The zaps.
So what happened? How does that even happen?
I don't know, but I took it back, and of course I got it to the place. I'm looking at this. It, I mean, it looked like a freaking like beach ball. It was just, I mean, just one little pop, and it just spewed.
It's like that whale that just washed up on the beach. Do you see that? I think it was just 2 days ago. Someone was posting about it. They're like, "What is this weird metallic object in the ocean?" And it was actually someone's like, "I think that's a dead whale," and it was a whale upside down. It had the ridges on it. Yeah, bloated as fuck.
Just, oh yeah, I think they've that. Exploded.
They have,
right? That's what I was going to ask. I was like, yeah. "Did this one explode?
Exploding a whale?" Does.
Yeah. Have you seen the one where they dynamited it?
Yeah, that's the story. Exploding a whale.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. But they do explode on their own too. So,
okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, but not like dynamite style.
Well, so you know, in this culinary school sort of hustle, these high pressure salesmen convince people like, "Don't worry about the cost because we can get you these student loans." And like, by the time you have to start paying them off, like you'll have a high paying job, right? Mm-hmm. Enter into the equation, the person who makes this all work, which is Sally May.
Oh yeah. Mm-hmm.
You guys familiar with Sally?
Yeah. Married May? To Freddie Mac, right?
Yeah. Freddie. Mm-hmm. It's Fannie Mae. Oh, Freddie. There is Freddie Mac.
Yeah. I think so.
These are all originally government lending institutions for different things. So at some point, the government created these entities to manage loans for things like college and buying a first-time home and all these things. They created these lending institutions mm-hmm. to help people. And one of the things that, like, in this time, there was this kind of loophole that Sally Mae figured out where they could loan money, government-backed money, for vocational, not for-profit institution. Oh, okay. So originally government-backed student loans, like your Stafford loans, were meant to be for nonprofit institutions. Mm-hmm. And Sally Mae found this loophole.
There's so many names.
Because what happened was is some of these started as nonprofit institutions. And then when the Le Cordon Bleu thing happened, they became for-profit. There was the shifting model. And they came in and said, we'll give the loans out. We'll provide student loans for all your students so long as we are your preferred lender.
Okay.
Now, I don't know if you guys know how much fucking money Sally Mae was managing.
No.
11 million student loans totaling $234 billion. They were handing out government money, government secured money, hand over fist, to anyone and everyone who wanted a vocational education in like the mid 2000s.
Why was everyone shitting on vocational stuff? I could have had so much student debt right now. I could have been racking it up.
And to make it even worse, they were like, you make us your preferred lender. We'll get everybody that has these loans. The used car salespeople, they were brilliant at it. Like they would always like there were different ways to get more and more money, and they would call you and be like, Ryan, I got more money for you. And these people thought because you could get.
Wow, you're fighting for me.
Yeah, you're fighting for me.
You saw my knife skills.
Right. Yeah. And like, I got some Pell Grants, but most of my grad school was Stafford loans. Even I remember not being exactly clear what the difference between a Pell Grant and a Stafford loan was.
No, I have no idea. I got Stafford loans, but
right. Well, Pell Grants, like in theory, you don't have to pay back, but they were administered by the same group in North Carolina when I went. So like they would get you as much grant as you could. And that's what these people would do. But I think in the student's mind, they're not really sure how much you're going to have to pay back. Right.
Right.
Like, when someone says, I got more money for you, I would think that means you got another grant for me.
Right. Now that I have more of a loan.
Now I have more of a loan, right? Mm-hmm. Like that's what
sneaky as fuck.
That's really sneaky as fuck.
Right. It's like, I got more money for you. And then the fine print is to pay back later.
With interest. A lot of interest. Yeah.
So let's.
You have more money for us at the end.
Yeah.
So let's give some examples. Adam Corriveau took out a $45,974 loan at 13.1% interest rate.
Okay. He didn't want that bitch job. He was like, I'm not being pastry chef. I want the big bucks.
when this article was written, which is a couple years ago, his balance, I'm sorry to laugh, it was $145,371.
And he'd been paying on it.
He had been paying on it.
Yeah, with the money he's making as fine dining restaurant.
Yes. No, that's the problem.
Oh, no.
He's a line cook at a restaurant making $14 an hour.
Holy shit. Adam. They paid 20 at Wendy's now.
Well, they didn't when this article.
No, I know that, but still.
Tanif Stephenson took out two loans totaling $16,365 to finance her culinary education. She's paid $14,608. So in theory, she should owe about $2,000 more. Mm-hmm. But with an interest rate of 13.125%, her balance is $42,385. But the good news about her is that she works as a cashier at a cafeteria.
Oh, so she can skim.
So yeah.
Got him fucking pay that.
The
off.
Reason these two things are important is because both Adam and Tanif, one who is a line cook and one who is a cashier, they are both considered by Le Cordon Bleu's job placement statistics to be people who got jobs in the industry.
Oh my God.
Success stories.
Success stories. We our people leave here and they get jobs. They never mention at all that you could get these exact same jobs without any education whatsoever.
Yeah. I was a dishwasher.
Yeah.
And if I wanted to make the jump to line cook, I think I would have been, I don't know, maybe a year away.
Did you go to Hobart University? Does that ring a bell? Hobart?
No.
Hobart's like the that's the dishwashing machine.
Made
by Hobart.
I think I worked with the Ecolab.
Oh yeah.
I thought Ecolab was the detergent.
Oh, that could be.
They do a lot of stuff. They make the thing that blows the flies out of the door.
I went through a Hobart one time.
You went through it.
Like how you do dishes.
Your skin didn't fall off. It's like 300.
You put your body through a dishwasher?
100%.
Like an MRI?
My entire body went through a dishwasher. We cooled the water down.
And you're not a superhero.
Yeah, sound like you're dumb enough to get one of these loans.
No. It did not feel great. I'll be honest. It felt like going through a car wash. It was a really high pressure. The water was we turned the hot water off.
I was going to say.
Scalding hot.
It was like at summer camp. We all worked in the kitchen at summer camp. And we were like, bonding experience at the end. We all was.
I do kind of like
sat
it.
On a tray.
That's a fun. And especially with turning off the hot water, it becomes kind of a fun hazing ritual.
It was pretty fun. Yeah. We also had women on staff too. So like watching them go through, we're like, oh, this is really
crazy. What kind of job was this?
This is great. So to back to this, the problem is that the people that went to this culinary institutes, they graduated only to realize that Le Cordon Bleu had stamped their name on the shittiest culinary schools in the country. Like, one of them was the California Culinary Academy, CCA. And in the industry, those graduates were known as CCA can't cook anything.
Wow. Mm.
Like, chefs said that, like, when I saw somebody with a CCA degree, like Cordon Bleu /CCA, that was the demerit on them. Like, they were.
Right. Yeah. You'd be better off with no experience.
I would rather have someone who hadn't learned anything.
Right.
Than someone who had learned from that institution.
Because all you know about them is they're dumb enough to fall for that.
They fell for that. they're in a ridiculous amount of debt, so they're going to have money trouble.
Right.
Right? So, like, they're constantly going to be looking for a better job or more pay.
And they've been trained poorly.
And they the worst thing is to be trained poorly, where you think you know what you're doing.
Right.
And you're like, that's terrible.
That's why we are where we are with the government right now.
Well, it's I mean, and here's the problem with these loans is these people's got these loans, and they're backed by the government, so you can't even discharge them in bankruptcy.
Oh, shit.
Because even if you declared bankruptcy, the government would be like, well, we're still coming after those loans. So any money that you would make, the government would put a lien on it and take their money back.
Holy shit.
And it was all perpetrated by Sallie Mae in conspiracy with these culinary schools who employed high pressure sales to get people to sign up, late night commercials telling you to change your life. Convincing you to do this and then loaning you the money. We're like, don't think about it. Just go. Your life will be better than a year or two later. You get out and you're working at like Starbucks, and they fabricated job placement data. They fabricated average salary data. Because what they would do is they would have one person who went back to their old job as a lawyer making $200,000 a year. And they would factor that person's salary in.
Right.
The average salary post-Cordon Bleu.
Right. Yeah. Raises all boats.
And no matter if you had did anything related to the food and beverage industry, they would include that in your
job. So like if you're a Cutco knife salesman, they're like, well, he worked in the industry.
You're not wrong. I mean,
that's
like,
crazy.
Is
Sallie Mae a real person, or is this just what it's called?
It's not
like a Mrs.
Not
Butterworth type thing.
No, I think Miss Butterworth. No, one of them is real, not Miss Butterworth. What's the other one?
Uncle
Aunt
Ben?
Jemima.
Aunt Jemima.
Aunt Jemima was real.
I think Aunt Jemima was. One of them is.
Okay.
One of those racist tropes was actually an actual person who started a business like.
Oh, interesting.
What's the cookie one? Famous Amos. That's what I'm thinking of.
Oh, okay. So
he got fucked, by the way.
Did he?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, he got royally fucked out of the you know, the Famous Amos cookies?
Yeah. Of course.
Yeah. He got screwed over by whoever bought the patent or the trade secret from him. Yeah.
Damn.
How do you steal a trade secret for cookies? This sounds like a Phoebe Friends thing.
But
the
Famous Amos brand did well, but he didn't see any of that money?
He sold it. I don't know the story. And I think I may be wrong, but I'm definitely right about what I've said so far. But I also think like he might have invested in like a women's wrestling league or something weird. he got a bunch of money.
That's what Glow is about.
And then realized that like it was kind of typical. Like they bought the recipe and then he was like, well, I'm going to start my own bakery. And they were like, yeah, but you can't make cookies. And he's like, well, I'll make them this way. They're like, no, go read the contract.
It says cookies.
Like you can't.
Oh, it's like a non-compete complete.
Right, right. It was something non-compete. Really, he got really screwed. I don't remember it. And of course, you know, we're going to get a fucking nasty email about somebody. But I know that 95% of what I've said is true. But I do think he had he dumped a bunch of money in like women's wrestling or something.
Okay.
All right. I'll fact check this after the pod.
Hell yeah. Good for you, dude.
Yeah.
I mean,
put that cookie money to good use.
What if somebody bought like, you know, something, someone says, hey, I like that joke you wrote. I'll give you $10 million for it.
Yeah.
What's the most ridiculous thing you'd spend it on? Women's wrestling? Bowflex?
You know, I've had people pitch me like, hey, you want to invest in my gym?
Oh, really?
I'm going to open a gym.
Right.
We were looking for investors. I feel like I could get talked into that.
Yeah, I bet they do that a lot.
That's not that crazy, though. I feel like it's not a...
No, dude, are gyms successful? I mean, like, on
some of them are.
I can't imagine.
I mean, that's true of everything, though. I didn't know if like it was like horror movies. Like, you know, like horror movies always make money.
Oh, no, I didn't know that.
You didn't know that? It's like the most successful genre of any film.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, but why is it that most low budget B movies are horror movies? Like how do those make money?
Oh, yeah, probably because the trade off is good.
Oh, yeah, right, you're right.
They don't have to be done well.
Right, no, that makes sense. Right.
Yeah, yeah.
And actually, that could be part of it. Like a horror movie, it's not like the acting has to be great.
No.
You just need people to be, you know, yell and be covered in blood.
Yeah, half the time you're watching it because it's dumb, not because it's good.
Right. They're hilarious.
It's like this podcast. Shit's dumb, but I like it.
So the last thing that I want to say is that in 2001, 766,000 Americans attended for-profit universities, okay? By 2010, because of this exact scheme that we're talking about, that number had ballooned to 2.4 million students. So these lenders had become what one commentator called the darling of Wall Street. That the revenue that they were bringing in from the interest rates, they knew Sallie Mae, and this was all part of a lawsuit against Sallie Mae that has just wrapped up, that they knew these students were going to default on their loans. Yeah. They knew they weren't going to be able to pay them off. But they were like, we can charge such high interest rates that as long as they pay off some of it, we can just make an insane amount of fucking money. And they did. We're talking like revenues in 2005 for the Career Education Corporation, which ran a bunch of these for-profit schools, was $1.8 billion.
Oh, my God.
And it was all through this partnership where Sallie Mae said, we're your preferred lender. We'll get them federal loans. They're guaranteed by the government. So you're definitely not your investors don't need to worry about bankruptcy claims, and you just get them to go and take these schools, go to these schools.
Yeah.
And so for profit, all those for profit schools we're talking about for gaming and IT tech and all that stuff, it was all part of this federal loan scam that transpired.
And the federal government. So Sallie Mae was a government entity, or they were independent, like an independent business that was using government. Money.
They were originally a government entity.
Okay.
That kind of like Geico was originally a government insurance.
Really? Like,
that's a government employee insurance company.
But not anymore. Okay. So basically knew the inside workings of the bureaucracy and knew how to get the money out of the government and then utilized it to fleece the general public.
Correct. And the reason the government created these institutions was to make it easy for people to go to college. That's why the government has a federal loan program. Mm. It's why the government has a first-time home buyer, right? Because at some point in American history, we decided that people that are educated and own homes are better citizens,
which
isn't a bad
notion.
Yeah. Right. So we want to make it easy for people to go to college. So we'll make the loan process. That's why, like, you can get a college loan no matter what your credit score is.
Oh, really?
I mean, what do you think these people go into? Fucking night school for pastry chefs have 700 credit scores. No, it's like there's no credit score. Like they'll loan you $80,000 with basically no credit or shitty credit.
Man, I gotta get some new stuff. I can use that money.
Yeah, I mean, when I went to grad school, there was a guy that had a full scholarship, but he took out the max amount of student loans.
Oh, my God.
Why?
And I was like, Mark, why did you do that? He's like, oh, I just put it into an investment account. And so, because you don't pay anything until you graduate.
Oh, I was smart. So it'll accrue some.
I'll make like $12,000 just sitting on that money. And then I'll just take the principal, pay it off, and then I'll take the cash. And
can you still do that?
I was like, oh, yeah.
But you have to be in the position where you don't actually need any of the money.
Yes.
I can do this. I'm a coddled little baby.
You have to be in school, though. Like,
I mean, I can.
The easiest way not to pay off your student loans is to stay in school forever.
Is that why so many people stay in school?
Yes, because if you're in school, it gets deferred and you can keep deferring it.
That's why all those people hang out at Players Retreat, just drinking beer. And they're like, you're 80 years old, you're still on campus? What the fuck is going on? Yeah.
Or another fourth PhD.
When I was a student, I hated this guy, but now I respect the play. Mm-hmm. Is at NC State University, there was a slumlord who owned a ton of student housing. Now, if you're a student at NC State and you have a minor legal, they have a law office. Probably most colleges do. Mm-hmm. And the idea is that, like, if you get in a landlord-tenant dispute or something like that, you can go to this law office and they will help you and assist you in that dispute. One stipulation, though, is that it can't be against another NC State student.
Oh, shit.
So took one class every semester for like his entire property.
Is he still alive?
No, he
okay,
he
good. Managed- I was like, I don't want to get sued over this. He just revealed information. Man.
Yeah, yeah, fuck that. So they'd be like, "Where do you live?" Like, he's a student. And he'd be like,
"Holy shit!"
I kind of respect it now.
That's a genius move.
It is a genius move.
And they're not allowed to like turn him down for, I mean, how, like from
for
enrollment
what? For yeah for what?
Yeah,
just for being a slumlord.
Yeah, crazy. I don't know. You're yeah, right, because it's a public thing. It's not a profit. So
yeah, he's just going to school, man. Try to better my life.
Trying to learn. Yeah.
He probably got sued a couple times, and he was just like, "Oh fuck this! There's got to be a loophole here." And he found it.
Crazy,
clever.
But back to this thing, like that's how you got your student loans. You keep going to school.
Okay.
But again, the good news for those of you listening who are like, "I hate this story." Yeah. Not even a conspiracy. It kind of is.
Easily provable one is the thing. And that's, right. Actually, I didn't know what conspiracy we were going to dig into when I came on today. And this one's very, it's very grounded in reality.
Well, right. Yeah.
It's not Bigfoot.
Which we love Bigfoot. He's a good friend.
Yeah.
But I think that like why it came to my mind was because I think there has been outrage about the student loan debt forgiveness that, and look, I'm not, if you're mad about it, I'm not trying to talk you off that ledge. All I'm saying is, like, you need to understand it from the perspective of someone like a guy in 2009 who took out $60,000 at 15%.
Yeah. Sorry you went to Full Sail University, but you got robbed.
Right. Yeah. And did it because a used car salesman, he's 14 beers deep after cooking at the restaurant all night. And he's sort of like, "Do you want to change your life? Go to culinary school." And he asked for a free brochure. And 14 days later, he's borrowed $70,000, which would never go away, no matter how much he paid, unless he just struck it rich.
That's just like having a kid. That's the fastest way to ruin your life if you didn't want it.
Thanks, man.
I mean, you have three. It's different.
Well, yeah.
You chose.
Yeah,
I chose.
I got to be reincarnated like four times.
Right.
You got to
just stayed in school. Does that work for kids too?
So you just have to keep having kids.
Just keep having kids. You never have to pay it.
You have to ever pay child support.
That's what it is.
That is true though.
Is it true? It's just like
No, because right, like eventually to be a deadbeat dad, I haven't looked at this too deeply, but if you have one kid and they're like, "Well, you have, let's make the math easy, you have $100,000 a year, you're gonna give $2,000 a month to your baby mama."
Yeah.
What if you have 12 kids?
Oh.
But it's like, I don't have that much money.
Yeah,
I don't have a job. I have 12 kids. It's like, then it becomes real problematic.
Oh, yeah.
And then you just end up in jail where the government pays for everything.
Crazy.
So that's how guys get out of it. People get out of it, not just guys.
And just have an illegal amount of kids.
If you broke the law. It's like, where's the money? It's like, well, I had to give this baby.
You broke God's law with this one. Yeah. They have so many.
Well, I do want to say, for those of you that hate this idea, that this whole story is that on Thursday, January 3rd, 2019, one of the major lawsuits with Sallie Mae, Le Cordon Bleu, and one other, like the Career Education Corporation, they were settled for like $500 million in loan forgiveness. And essentially, most of the people had an avenue for loan forgiveness at this time for these culinary loans.
So most people had already gotten help.
But here's the thing. It came out of, like, thankfully, profits from Le Cordon Bleu and Sallie Mae and all those things, right?
Yeah.
I think what we're dealing with now is like, well, that's great for people that signed up for culinary school, but like, what about people that signed up for other,
like, quote unquote legitimate universities and shit like that?
Yeah. I mean, in some ways, I think we've all been sold on this idea of education, and the pandemic, I think, really shuffled the deck in a way where a lot of people realize that I think that education has value outside of your vocation.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Absolutely. Yeah.
I mean, I want my kids to go to college because I want your views to be challenged. I want you to live in a dorm or in a shared space where you have to get along with people that you don't like.
Yeah.
Like I want all the, I want you to read books that are difficult for you to read. And I mean, both difficult in like the academic intellect way, but also like in the ideas they present. Right.
Sure.
Like, there's a lot of good.
You hold education very high. I don't think I got any of that when I went to college.
I do believe that like children graduate high school in 2022 and they are so emotionally and intellectually immature.
Oh yeah.
That like you think you look back at like the 14-year-olds in the 1920s and they'd like, you know,
they're coal miners. They had jobs.
Like, right, right.
They're lying about their age so they can go to war.
Right. Yeah. Exactly.
Hey, kid, want to go to war? We can right. sign you up right now.
Yeah,
right.
I need a fake ID so I can get into the war.
Exactly. Yeah.
It's and I'm like, I think that the way that our society is structured, I want my kids to go to get that experience somewhere. If it's not college.
Yeah.
Get it somewhere
else. What I think one of the benefits along those lines is that you, even the stuff that is very challenging that you don't even, like chemistry. I had to take some chemistry in college and I didn't grasp hardly any. It's so advanced. And so, but what I did understand, I could glean from the lectures, I was like, oh, this is an entire field that there are people that understand this shit.
Yeah. Mm.
And so it just, you have respect for that institution.
Yeah.
It lets you know that you're not smart, which I think is very important.
Yes, I guess that's basically what I'm saying. Yeah. You know, when research is being done on this thing or that thing.
Yeah.
You know, if you start thinking like, well, wait a minute, this doesn't make sense. You probably just aren't understanding.
Right. Exactly. And we talk about a lot of stuff on this pod that, you know, it's a fun pod. We make conspiracies fun. We have a good time. But if you dove into the science on a lot of this stuff, you'd be like, oh, honestly, a lot of the stuff you talk about probably could be solved in this way and this way and this way, which I think is important. And that I think that there's too many people that are just like, no, what I say is the truth because I think it's true. And right. It's like, that's not necessarily true. There's science and there's.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, if I watch a flat earth video on YouTube, they're going to make a few points that I can't debunk.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
Where I'm like, I know that's wrong, but I can't tell you why. Yeah. I can't talk you through why.
Yeah.
But I trust that it is because I went to college right. and I was like, damn, these people are smart as hell.
Exactly. Yeah. Right. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's an interesting proposition in the sense that if we think about the educational system in the way, there's this great book by a philosopher called Discipline and Punish, Michael Foucault, if anybody recognizes the name, but he traces the modern college back to the penitentiary. The design of like that what we think about as education was actually grew out of Jeremy Bentham's theories on how to punish people in prison. It's
indoctrination, not education.
That's what Foucault basically argues. And maybe I'm just like, yeah, he's right, but like you're indoctrinating people hopefully in a way that they can think for themselves. Like
right, yeah.
Like if you're indoctrinating people to say, I want to learn to think critically, that's what I like about college. The vocational part, I know so few people that the job they're doing is what they went to college for.
Right.
Like your vocation comes somehow later on in life or something. And I'm just saying maybe that's my final thought. It's like, I want to separate those two so that we don't end in a situation like, I'm not talking about community college. I'm not talking about,
right. Yeah.
Maybe we don't make people pay $75,000 to cook or to be a chef. Like,
right.
Like let's, I wish we had a system of education where the average American graduated from whatever we consider the norm and says, hey, this is the normal amount of college that most people have.
Right.
You can think for yourself. You know how to read, you know how to do research, you know how to think critically. Now go figure out what you want to do with your life.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. That's one thing I wish was definitely more of, because I think that I went to school for illustration and design, and I hate graphic design right now because I realize, and I have plenty of friends that like that was their passion, and now they're like, fuck this business. I hate this. And I wish that we are given the opportunity, and I know on some level we are with lower level classes, but having to choose a track and focus on that for 4 years, why can't we just say, I'm into all these things, and you do one class, like, you know what?
Right.
Maybe the reconstruction of the South history class is not for me because I should have, but you know, I'll drop history. I'm not good at history, but I like these things. And then you just whittle it down. Maybe it's more of like a Plinko type where you – what's the game where you kind of whittle down? I don't know if it's a game or not. But
Guess Who?
Yeah, Guess Who. It's Guess Who.
It's Guess Job.
It should be Guess Job, yes. So basically it's like I like this, I like this,
what
I don't like that.
What a great game where you like like we say, like have to get up at 9 before 9 a.m.
Yeah, exactly.
Daniel. So many people found themselves in jobs and careers where they're like, I hate.
Oh, I remember now.
My job, I hate what I'm doing, and I'm doing it mostly because I did. I took all this money out, and I'm trying to pay it back.
Right, you're trying to make it worth it,
and you're like, but I don't even like it, and I think that's the impetus behind this student debt thing. I mean, the student debt issue has been around for a long time. Mm-hmm. It was being litigated in these lawsuits against these people in like this particular case. But I think the student loan forgiveness is steeped in this whole idea.
Yeah.
To like, we have been sold this idea in America that like, you go to college, you take out a bunch of money if you can't afford it, and you get a job and then you work.
Right. Well, you don't want the thing that you paid all that money for it to be worth nothing, which is, I think, is the same trap that people get into with, well, I stormed the Capitol, but maybe these ideas are wrong. I can't go back on what I thought about this thing. Yeah, you know, I think it's one of those things where you're so invested, you can't go back with education a lot of times, which is unfortunate.
Final thought.
You know what? Stop preying on people, you fucks. I know you don't listen to this podcast, people with money. But if you did, get the $10,000 Patreon level, that would help us out a lot. But I think it's unfortunate because there's all these, I think most Americans, it's definitely a, and probably people over the world, it's definitely an issue that goes much deeper. It's not about education. It's about quality of life and things like that. So what they're preying on is aspirational goals of people because we're born into poverty, we're born into these situations we can't get out of. And they're like, hey, but I can help you, buddy.
Yeah.
Just grab onto my hand. Don't look behind this curtain, but I'll help you out. And it's unfortunate that 90% of businesses out there are using us like this just because they can make money on us.
What do you think? Here's my question to you. Do you think that the pendulum is going to swing and all of a sudden, because we don't have enough HVAC repairmen, we don't have enough carpenters and plumbers and guys in highly academic careers with masters and needed, 8 years of education are looking out and they're going like, man, that guy works outside.
It's already happened.
And why don't I just do that? I could do that.
It's already happened.
Oh, yeah.
But
then you're going to, it's going to swing that way. And
then you
have
no scientists.
Then you're going to be like, we have no one who knows how to like work this, the soundboard or this computer program.
Well, and that's why no one knows what the pyramids are for.
Right.
Because we all decide we just need to fix plumbing.
I mean,
I think eventually we'll hopefully find the equilibrium, but I think it does. It's cyclical. So you're like, well, we got to do this with science. I watched an interesting interview the other day that said science itself, like once people realized that science was really important and they could make money off it, all these people got into scientific industries, not to better society, but to make money off it because they would get things like grants and get things like that. So, and I think, I think it's just cyclical. I don't know.
Yeah, that's why I think. And let me state, my wife's a teacher. I think teachers should be paid more. However, there's some point where teachers are paid too much.
Oh, man, you're getting canceled.
For sure I am.
By some point, you mean like at higher education?
No, I mean middle school, elementary school teacher, third grade teacher, where it's like, I make $85,000 a year. I just do a shitty job with these third graders. And
I
get my summers off. It's a sweet life. Right. And you're like, we don't want it to be so lucrative that like frat bros are
take advantage of it.
Like, there's this weird sweet spot.
Yeah.
I think teachers are paid too little.
Oh, absolutely.
But like, if you incentivize a job with high pay, then you get people that like people all want to do that.
Right. Who aren't even into it.
I don't care about it. I'm just pays my bills.
That's my point with me. I get paid good to sit around and do nothing except for a couple hours a day. And I'm like, that's not a good for me or society.
Well, it's not good. I'm doing that same thing. And I'm playing video games.
I was like, good.
But yeah. Or it's like how many immigrants are like, my parents wanted me to be a doctor or a lawyer. Those were the options. It's like, if teacher, paid well, that would be one. That would be on the list.
Yeah, that's true. And you'd have them being
forced into this. Like, I hate kids, but
I got to do it.
The expectation. And,
There's no. It's almost like there's no right answer for any of life. Weird.
Well, this is a happy podcast today.
What's your final thought, Ryan?
My final thought is like, I mean, it's cliche, but just don't, like you were saying, stop preying on people being exploitative. Definitely.
Yeah.
But also, just, you know, if you want to, if you want to cook or whatever, just, you can just go start doing it.
Yeah.
I feel like that's what you're saying with your situation.
Yeah.
You're like,
yeah,
just start doing it. Just start, think about the life you want to have and just start making strides in that direction, you know, however you can.
Yeah.
And at best, college might teach you how to do that in a way, like how to navigate those systems of like, okay, I want to get to here. How do I get there?
Well, it's interesting. We've talked about this a lot. And I think in comedy, this is the biggest thing is a lot of times you're like, oh, why am I not excelling in this field, or I'm not excelling in this part of my life, whether it's comedy or my job or whatever. And it's a lot of people just don't show up. You just got to keep.
Oh, right.
I've pointed that out a lot. People are like, man, people have been doing comedy 3 years and they're hanging out with like all these famous people. I'm like, they just, you just got to keep showing up.
Oh, yeah.
Like, that's the thing. Absolutely. It's like for every job, it's not comedy. It's like if you're into history, go to fucking history talks. Yeah. Go to fucking school. Right. Good, do things like that.
Yeah. You start hanging around the right places long enough.
Yep.
Something's going to happen.
Exactly. Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So.
Well, very interesting, man. Hey, before,
this is fun.
Yeah, before we get out of here, Ryan, where can our listeners find and follow you, catch you do comedy or any of that kind of fun stuff?
Yeah, I don't have anything real specific to promote right now, but yeah, go to RyanBrownComedy.com. I keep that updated with all my shows, and Ryan Brown Comedy on Instagram.
Hell yeah.
Awesome. Well, check him out. Very, very funny. And if you're ever in the Raleigh area or somewhere where Ryan's performing, definitely catch a live show because it is really, really awesome. Very excited to have you on. Thanks for coming out. This has been Conspiracy Beer Meat. I'm still Justin Smith.
I'm Shane Smith, and this was
Ryan Brown.
Peace.